Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday. I am in the beautiful Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsters General Store. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. Located 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. All right. Yesterday, we safely negotiated the show without mentioning IndyCar. I did watch for 60 seconds. They were all going in a straight line. That ended that affiliation quickly. I don't know what to say about the Tubby Smith dismissal. We did talk about it briefly yesterday. And you do know that the athletic director at Minnesota, Norwood Teague, comes there from VCU. So you're going to hear a lot of talk between now and the next few days about Shaka Smart in Minnesota. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But we'll see. I don't know what Minnesota wants. Now, I want to point out something about Shaka Smart briefly. He is a Madison, Wisconsin native. Bo is no longer a young guy, Bo, I know you listen to the show sometimes. You don't want to hear that. So there are people that are wondering if, in order to keep Shaka Smart away from his beloved hometown of Madison, if maybe they step up now and Minnesota goes after him. Whether he wants to leave VCU, I don't know, and bring havoc to the Big Ten, I don't know. Certainly was fun to watch havoc against the Big Ten over the weekend. Oh, that didn't go well. Let's see. Superior athletes, bad matchup, got burned. But he has done a great job at VCU, without a doubt. Today, we're going to be talking about LaSalle and what they've done. They're in the Sweet 16, and they will play Wichita. They'll take on Wichita State, Staples Center, Los Angeles. And John Gonzalez will join us. He actually was covering Temple over the weekend, but he's a LaSalle grad, but has covered Big Five basketball for a long time. We will get him on the show today. And also, we'll go down to Baton Rouge and talk to Brian Tripp on the Lady Lions second-round game tonight with LSU at the Maravich Center. And then tomorrow, David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News, because we couldn't get Regis Philbin. That's an inside joke between Dave and me, which we'll explain to you tomorrow. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick. Welcome. Great to have you with us. It is a Tuesday. I am safely ensconced and cozy in the chateau where the fire in the fireplace is crackling just a bit.
Wouldn't it be nice not to have to use the fireplace, though?
Well, I know.
I'd like to be able to use the air conditioner again.
I actually sat there and looked at the advance forecast.
Yes.
You know, just to look. I mean, when is it going to be warm?
It's not looking better. I was hoping your advance forecast looked better than mine.
I looked 3 weeks in advance. I finally found some days in the 60s.
You know, I feel bad for the high school baseball teams right now because playing baseball in this weather with aluminum bats not only is bad for the bats, it hurts the hands.
Yeah, it hurts the hands. I'm more concerned about people than I am about objects.
Well, when you're paying $299 for a bat, you know, you're worried about the object, too.
Oh, now we're back to your life again. Now that forgot.
Are you
it
kidding?
All comes back to you.
There is no way I'm paying $300 for a baseball bat.
So your kid uses cheap equipment.
I said to him, he goes, hey, can I get this bat? I said, you realize that's $300? Yeah. I said, are you going to hit $300 worth with it? Probably not.
Oh, that's just wrong. That's wrong on your part. It's wrong.
But listen, the reason he's hitting or not hitting is not the $300 bat. I can tell you that right now.
You're unbelievable.
Well, listen, I thought you'd be proud of me by saying, listen, it's not the best equipment that makes the better hitter. It's just being a better hitter. See, and I thought you'd be on that side.
I am on that side because, okay. I mean, I don't have kids playing anymore. So really, now since I don't have kids playing anymore, I can sit back and I can take the opposite view and
there
say,
we go.
I mean, really, you are ripping your kid off. He is sitting there with this substandard. They're out there with the Louisville Slugger aluminum. And I'm stuck with things that picked up at Wise Markets.
What is it? DeMarini. That's the one. I think a DeMarini is what he wanted.
A DeMarini.
Yeah.
Wow. That is the bat of all bats. Today we have John Gonzalez. He's a LaSalle grad who covers sports for Comcast Philadelphia. We'll have him on to talk about LaSalle's run to the Sweet 16. Brian Tripp from Baton Rouge. On tonight's matchup with the Lady Lions. Tomorrow, David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News, will be on our show. Josh Yowie tomorrow, Pittsburgh Tribune, talking about the Penguins. Tim Owen on Thursday, Blue White Illustrated, to put a bow on the wrestling season. And Kevin has the Bucknell janitor lined up for Friday to talk about what it was like sweeping up at Soika after the championship game. No.
There's a couple of things we got in the hopper that are coming down that could be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it a big surprise.
Andy Enfield, who's the head coach of Florida Gulf Coast. Now, look, he looks Wall Street. He is buttoned down, suits, shirts, the whole thing.
His wife has her own bodyguards?
No, she was in the stands with the three kids.
I heard she had a bodyguard with her.
Not that we saw.
All right.
Not that we saw. I think there was a woman, a blonde-haired woman who was sitting on the end that had a guy next to her. And I think there were people that thought that she was Amanda Markham and it was not.
Oh, okay. Because Bartlett was telling me she was there and then thought she saw bodyguards.
No. Party picked out the wrong girl. Dave Jones, by the way, and I will not bring this up, but he pointed out to Dick and me, that's her. And we're like, oh, okay. And there was a guy sitting with her, and there was also, they had somebody at the end of the aisle next to her, okay, one of the ushers. So the guy, whatever. We looked at her, and we're like, okay, she's very pretty, you know, okay, fine. Yeah. And then, of course, they put a scoreboard where she was, and everybody went nuts. So we looked at Dave, when it comes wrong.
Wait, what was that again? What happened? They put her on the scoreboard.
They put up on the scoreboard a picture of her,
right,
with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Right, and it wasn't the woman that Dave pointed out. David,
funny.
Dick and I are like, hey, yeah. Even when it comes to that, you're wrong. I mean, the two of us were outside the Florida Gulf Coast locker. We've given Dave a hard time.
Funny, she looked different on Maxim.
Because look, Dick and I didn't know who she was. Okay, I mean, we're not completely in touch. Well, now, when it came to the ability to give him a hard time, I think for some odd reason you don't find that difficult to have somebody be mad. But Enfield, okay, very impressive, handles himself well, has done a great job with the team, no doubt about that. But there's been a lot of talk now. Now, last week the talk was about the fact that he was married to Amanda Markham.
Right.
Who's been on the covers of Vogue and Maxim and whatever. I don't know. Some pick one. And then they won, and all of a sudden nobody talked about her. They talked about him. Well, now they won again. Now they're talking more about him. Okay. Scores of publications and news outlets reported that Andy Enfield was a co-founder of healthcare business information firm Tract Manager, and that the company was worth $100 million. It was then inferred by many that Enfield, making $157,000 a year at Florida Gulf Coast, was independently wealthy. Enfield has not revealed how much money he has made off the company and how much he still has invested. Here's one for you. It's none of your business. It's not my business, Kevin's business, the reporter's business, or yours.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you there.
Tend to? It's his own life. He can make whatever he makes, he makes.
Who cares?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Now, if it happens to be, if it's the president of the United States or the governor or a congressman or an aide that works, a legislative aide, yes, we should know how much they make. Why? As the employers paying taxes, or as the fancy new word is today, revenue, okay, that's our money. We should know where our money goes.
What about publicly funded schools?
Same thing. We pay. I remember one time the school, his name is Andy Enfield. I grew up in Enfield, Connecticut. I remember that the Journal Inquirer published all the salaries of the teachers in Enfield one year, and people were shocked. So, yes, it's a public job. Now, should it be randomly posted? No, but you should have the ability to go to the town hall or whatever and say, I'd like to know, and they have to tell you because you pay it.
But you're saying what he's being paid to coach, okay, what he's being paid for somewhere else, nobody's business.
What he made privately is his own business.
Right.
It's his own private money. Okay, for example, we should not know what your salary is or what my salary is. We're with a private company. Okay, the person that should know should be Roger. Now, Roger's salary should be made public, but he's not. It's a different now. I'm just kidding. Just joking. Okay, but, you know, our salary should not be made public, or for anybody working at Geisinger or at Wise or, you know, whatever it happens to be. Okay, Brewer's Outlet. You know what Rick Weibel does? Those are private firms. It's inside. But when it's the public's money. And now, I don't know why you're interested to begin with anyway. I remember when the Harrisburg Patriot a few years ago wanted to know what Joe's salary was?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and that's what he gets paid by the university. Okay. And I remember I was in Philadelphia speaking, and I was asked about Joe's salary because it hadn't come out yet at that point. I looked at the audience and I said, I don't care what he makes. And they looked at me like, well, and one guy said, well, why not? He said, all I care is what I make. His money doesn't pay my bills. I care about what I make. Okay, because my money goes to my mortgage, my car, and my bills. Because I don't care what he makes. I hope he's doing well because he's a friend and I like him. But I have no desire to know such things. I don't understand why people are so curious about this stuff. I don't understand that. I don't care what they make. Okay, now I do care, for example, if... Debbie Wasserman Schultz said last week, oh, the sequester's keeping her staff from being able to eat at the commissary. Soup is $5 at the commissary. Sandwich is $2. Okay? Her aides make between $60,000 and $160,000 that we pay. Okay? If you're gonna be that dumb and say something that stupid, then I do want to know what they make. Okay? And then you find out and go, I'm sorry, your statement was stupid. And I can say that. I'm an employer. You're an employee.
Award-winning news 7 days a week. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's like I told that group. I said, they said, aren't you curious? I said, no, not really. I said, I really care about what I make. Said, what I make pays my bills.
Yeah, I mean, I can't ever... Yeah, that wouldn't bother me.
I don't care.
Now, if it's a publicly funded thing, then that's a different story.
Right.
But what he does with the money after he gets it, I really don't care. I mean, if he's making money, great. My question is, who's helping him out, and should I talk to them myself?
Well, I mean, but he did this for years. See, now I wonder if part of this is if he's up for other jobs, if some people will lowball him thinking that he's independently wealthy instead of giving him what he deserves for the job based on what his peers are making.
No, I don't know. I still say you got to base that on ability. Oh, yeah.
No, no. I agree with that. Saying, yeah. I'm saying, might somebody try to lowball him and say, oh, you're independently wealthy. You don't need the $2.5 million we gave Tubby. You know, I mean, look, when it comes to Minnesota, I think, you know, the first name that everybody's going to mention up there, because Norwood Teague is the athletic director, is Shaka Smart.
Yeah, that's what you were mentioning earlier.
Who was VCU's AD before he took the Minnesota job. But here it is. There, you know, we're in an era. I'm going to get to John Gonzalez here in a moment. We're in an era where, and you saw this with Dino Gaudio at Wake Forest. He won an opening round game, then lost the second round. The dude was out working out, you know, 2 weeks later. And all of a sudden his AD calls up. He says, hey, I said, could you come upstairs? I'd like to talk to him. Gaudio's done working out. He goes upstairs to talk to him, thinking, hey, look, we're just going to talk about the future or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Okay, he fired him. He didn't do well enough. You want to, you know, you got to the tournament, you won a game in the tournament, and you got to the next round. How good's Wake Forest been since? How's that worked out? Haven't been in. Okay, now you go to Minnesota. There are a lot of people that say that Tubby and his staff didn't work hard enough, but there are some hindrances to coaching in Minnesota that people don't realize. Minnesota has some great facilities. The football facility, TCF Bank Stadium, a.k.a. the bank, great facility. The Vikings are going to play there for 2 years while they're building a new dome. They're going to take the Metrodome down. They're going to play one last year in the Metrodome and then boom, implode and then build on the same spot. So you're going to play at the bank for at least one season, possibly two. So and that's a great facility. I've done a game in there. It doesn't get any better. I mean, it's really well done. Okay. They not only have Mariucci, the men's hockey arena, they have a separate women's hockey arena in Minnesota. They have two arenas, one for each team. Basketball has to share the same court as the practice facility. Facilities like other people do in the Big Ten. Now, Indiana's improved with Cook Pavilion. In fact, I got a really great tour of Cook Pavilion. You know who gave it to me?
Of Cook Pavilion? No, who gave it to you, Cook Pavilion?
Tom Crean, personally.
That's a nice little tour guide.
It was nice. He says, hey, you want to come? He says, yeah, come back and see it. You know, he introduced me to his staff and the whole thing. It was a good day for him. You know, we got along just fine. Chrysler Center. You know, finally Michigan has. So there's been an upgrade at Purdue in the last 2 years, an upgrade at Iowa in the last 2 years. Minnesota has not upgraded. They redid the barn years ago because the barn's old. It's a 1927 facility. It's old.
The barn.
Well, that's what it's called. I mean, you go in there.
I just thought it was funny.
It's Williams Arena. But they're not up on the curve. But the names already that have been mentioned for Minnesota are obviously Shaka Smart. The other one's Dr. John Giannini from LaSalle. Now, whether he'll do it or not, who knows? But let's talk about LaSalle. They go to Los Angeles. They're going to get Wichita State next. Ohio State's on the other side going, yes. And we bring in John Gonzalez, Comcast Sports, who for years has covered the Big Five, actually was in Dayton, but he's also a LaSalle grad. John, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I saw this LaSalle team, obviously, against Penn State back in early December, and I was really impressed by what I saw. But there actually is a little different team than the one I saw because they don't have the big guy. The big guy got hurt. How much did Dr. John have to change things after the big guy got hurt?
Yeah, Steve Zack is the guy you're talking about. He's a sophomore center, and he's a good player. He's the guy who comes off the bench for them, and he gives them some size. The difference is with this team, I mean, they're guard-oriented to begin with. They go four guards most of the time when they're on the floor. You'll very rarely see them without four guards. They rotate them in and out, sort of like almost like a hockey line. But Steve Zack was one of their big guys, him and Jarrell Wright, so you take one of the guys out of there, and what that does is it shortens your bench, it shortens your rotation, And it really makes it difficult on Jarrell Wright. He's a really good player on the interior for them, but if he gets in foul trouble, it sort of puts LaSalle in a precarious situation.
Yeah, Zach, in fact, a high school teammate, AAU teammate of Penn State's Jermaine Marshall. So that's where those two matched up before and worked together before. Wright was not very good against Penn State. Zach was great against Penn State. Now you get to this stage. Wright's played really well. You and I both know, John, and you're a LaSalle grad, that,
yeah.
I mean, really, it hasn't been since Lionel Simmons, Doug Overton, and the tournament doesn't have the notoriety it does now, but that's a long time since those guys played.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been so long that I wasn't in school when LaSalle last made the tournament, when you're talking about Lionel Simmons and those guys. I wasn't in school yet. I've been out of school for a long time. That's how long it's been. So it's a great thing. I mean, it's been since 1955, also since the Explorers reached the Sweet 16. And the whole campus, people that I graduated with, people that I haven't heard from in years, the kids who go there now, I mean, anybody and everybody who has any association with LaSalle. And even beyond that, I mean, I think in the city there's a real buzz about it because for a long, long time, like you said, LaSalle basketball was dead. And, you know, it's a shame to say, but it was. It was gone for a while. And even as recently as a couple of years ago, they had back-to-back losing seasons. And then last year they got good. They made the NIT. They were really, really close to making the NCAA tournament. And then this year, you know, for them to get into the NCAA tournament when they weren't sure that they would get in, they were the last team in, they won a play-in game, they won another. I mean, it's just an unbelievable story.
Yeah, it is. In fact, now this is how far back I go, John. I did Lionel Simmons' first game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all right. So you predate me then.
Yes, I predate you. I predate a lot of people.
That's
but,
right.
But I did think it was down in Miami at a convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
It was Miami's tournament. It was called the AMI Classic, and Simmons had 17 that first one. Penn State actually won the game. But now, you covered Temple yesterday as well. You were in Dayton. The one thing I talked about, because I'd seen, obviously, Indiana in person a few times this season, I wondered if Indiana could play a slow game and win. The job that Fran did on a day where Khalif Wyatt had very little help, what impressed you about Temple's and the coaching performance of Fran, considering that Khalif didn't have a lot of offensive help?
Yeah, everything. I mean, everything that you just said, I think that if you look at the two teams, it's no mystery that Indiana is supremely talented, way deeper than Temple. But Temple, I mean, and Temple didn't, to be honest with you, Temple wasn't playing great right before the tournament. That game that they played against UMass was a little bit of a struggle. They did win, you know, what, 7 of 8 going into the tournament, but that UMass game in the A-10 tournament wasn't great for them. And like you said, offensively, it's basically the Khalif Wyatt show, and he was great. I mean, he was great in two straight games, and he didn't have a ton of help. And for Temple to not only be in that game, but have it right up until the end, I mean, they had it under control from, I would say, about the 3-minute mark in the first half to 1:18 when Oladipo hit that free throw left in the game. And they did it by playing amazing defense. They had held Cody Zeller to, I think, 4-for-10 shooting when they're not a big team at all. They out-rebounded Indiana, which is amazing considering the size differential. They had more points in the paint, same reason why it's amazing. I mean, what they did, and they did it with a short rotation because they have a short bench to begin with. And Jake O'Brien has been really good for them. He was a senior transfer this year. He had a tough game. He wasn't scoring the ball, and then also he got in foul trouble. So for them to be in that game and to almost win it and to really give Indiana a scare was, like you said, a hugely impressive performance, not just by the players, but by Fran Dunphy.
The fact is, and this is something I talked about in the previous break, in the NCAA, the timeouts are longer. The first mm-hmm. timeout of the half is a full and not a 30. On each half, how much does that help a team like Temple with a short bench that the timeouts are longer and the additional full is in there that a lot of fans don't realize?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think in terms of rest, it probably helps. Khalif Wyatt came out of the game he came out towards the end of the half, towards the end of the half for maybe 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He sat down. There's a timeout. He got back up. He went back in. But Fran Duffy was asked about that the other day, and he's great. He's hilarious. He's witty. He's smart. And we said, hey, Fran, does this help you? Because you guys have such a short bench. He goes, yeah, I'm not really that interesting. I don't have much to say. I'm done after about 20 seconds. You could take a nap in most of these times now. So, I don't think that he believes that it helps them. But, yeah, I mean, in theory, at least in terms of their energy.
Oh, I think in terms of rest it helps them. It doesn't mean in terms of what Fran has to say.
He was great.
Fran has himself so prepared to begin with. I mean, what do you have to say?
He said that he goes, you know, we run all this stuff over and over again. He goes, what am I going to say after 20 seconds? We're just staring at each other.
Obviously, you were there for Iowa State, Ohio State as well. Mm-hmm. Now, again, Ohio State's another team I've seen a lot of, so I've got a pretty good handle on them. But I want to get, you know, somebody who really hasn't seen them a lot in person. What did you think of what Ohio State brings to the table?
Impressive. I thought both teams were impressive. I mean, that first game was just an absolute killer. Both games, actually, in that region yesterday were. Either way, I think that that's what was really impressive about that region. If Iowa State had won that game, nobody would have blinked. I mean, they almost did. And they had very different styles for either team to advance in that game, and people could have advanced too. So just to get that region and to be able to get out of that bracket in Dayton, those games were just absolute killers. So kudos to both teams that made it through.
All right, now let's get to the next step. Dick Girardi, I know, is going to Los Angeles. I believe you are, too.
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Which, to be honest with you, I mean, I thought Wichita State would beat Gonzaga. I had that in my bracket, but I didn't have LaSalle going. I had LaSalle beating Kansas State, though. I had LaSalle beating Kansas State, just because Kansas State doesn't muster enough offense to win a game like that. What's the initial read and thought on this matchup?
Well, I mean, when I look at it, here's the thing that I've said throughout the tournament. When LaSalle got there on day, and they were really nervous because they were not only the last region to be announced, mm-hmm. but they were one of the two last matchups to be announced. I mean, it was, hey, I don't think we're getting in, and then all of a sudden everybody's cheering. So they get in and they're playing Boise State, and it was, if the guards play well, they're going to advance. And then Kansas State, it was, if the guards play well, they're going to advance. And same deal. That's what I feel about Wichita State game. The Shockers are a really good team. They could very easily beat LaSalle. LaSalle is super hot right now. And their guard play is excellent. And here's the scary part for LaSalle. Their best overall player throughout the entire year was Tariq Duren,
point guard. No doubt.
And he has not played that great during the tournament. And if he gets on, all of a sudden, who knows how much better they'd look.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. I agree with you. Penn is now the best player was. Now, Galloway's been really good, obviously.
Oh, he's crazy good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. He was unquestionably the best guy on the floor when I saw them play. Is it just a little bit off? Is it a little bit of fatigue? He's had to play a lot of minutes, or is it just, you know, hey, look, he's, you know, it just wasn't his week.
You know, I think it probably was the last one. I think it probably wasn't his week. I mean, when we look at Galloway, I mean, Galloway is a phenomenal scorer. I think people starting now to realize how good he is offensively. He is, I would say, every bit the scorer as Khalif Wyatt. He plays pretty good defense. He's not a great passer. He can rebound a little bit. Tariq Duren kind of makes the team go. I mean, he's an excellent distributor. He plays very good defense, and he can score the ball. So, especially from your point guard, and especially when you're in a guard-driven team, I mean, they can get him going. All of a sudden now, they become even more dangerous than they've become already.
It's been an interesting time for the city. Three teams got in, Nova, Temple, LaSalle. I don't think anybody knew how well any of the three teams would do. You just witnessed Temple take Indiana to the wire. Now you're going to go to Los Angeles. So for you, what kind of riot has this been?
I mean, it's great. You know, and it's nice because I went to LaSalle, but I didn't really, because the team was so down before I got there and because it was so down when I was there, I was a journalist when I was at school and I covered the team and But there wasn't a huge attachment to the team because they just weren't very good. I mean, my first year they were 6-24. So it is really nice to watch them go on. But even if I didn't attend LaSalle, if that wasn't my alma mater, this is an amazing story. It's a great story for if you like college basketball or just if you like Cinderella's or just if you – I mean, here's another – there are student reporters for LaSalle because it's not a big college and because they don't have a lot of funding who – created a funding page, and they told me about it, and they tweeted it out. And now they're going to the West Coast as well with the Explorers. I mean, they get to go when they didn't think they'd be able to make it. I mean, they drove from Philadelphia to Dayton for the first round game. Then they drove to Kansas City for the second. And they're on their way back through a snowstorm right now, 18 hours. They wanted to watch and cover their team. And then they're going to get on a plane with the funds that a bunch of people donated online and fly out and watch them. It's just like, just a great, great story, and everybody in Philadelphia is talking about it.
No question about that, and they are talking about it, and that's what makes part of this to be a great story. Now they get this matchup with Wichita State. And, again, let's talk about Dr. John Giannini for a moment. You're around him a lot. He seems like, for the most part, when you watch his demeanor on the sideline, that he's a relatively even keel guy. Is that how he is, and does that translate to his team?
I think on the sidelines he can sometimes be a little bit more excitable than you might believe, but with his team, when you're just talking to him, when you know he and I or the media are in front of him, he's very laid back. I mean, he's a nice guy, smart guy. He's done a lot for LaSalle, a lot with recruiting. I mean, the transfers that he brought in, specifically Tyrone Garland and Galloway, those two guys, to be able to get them, those are program changers.
Right.
And for you to be able to do that this year when the whole world is watching, when they thought LaSalle's not going to get in or they might not get in even though their resume said they probably should, and then they got in and go on this run. I mean, a couple of years ago, like I said, this is John's ninth year coaching the team. A couple of years ago, they had back-to-back losing seasons, and there were a bunch of people clamoring for him to be fired, and I talked to the athletic director this week, and he said, look, you know, I heard people talking about how he should be fired, but we liked the way that he was going with the program, because when he took over the program, this is something people might not remember, there was a big scandal. I mean, three of the players were accused of rape and dismissed from the team.
Right.
Two of them, one of them had the charges dropped, two of them were acquitted, but it was a huge, huge scandal. It was a major blight against the university. The program was in absolute shambles. He had to pick that up. That was his first year, was the year after that. So it takes a while to rebuild, not to mention the fact that, despite the fact that LaSalle's on a great run here, the facilities at that school are not great. I mean, you're recruiting against programs like and Butler and Dayton that has an amazing arena is hosting every year. And you're trying to get people to come to your school without that same – it's not a one-to-one comparison. So what he's done, despite deficiencies, is really remarkable.
Yeah, Penn State did not play them at Gola. Penn State played them at the Palestra, and that tells you a little bit. John, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Safe trip to Los Angeles, and enjoy what has been a fun ride and a great story so far.
All right, thanks so much.
John Gonzalez joining us. And, LaSalle, great story. I mean, it turns out 5 of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16 are Penn State opponents. That's how you end up playing the sixth-rated schedule in the country, my friends. 347 teams and 341 played more schedules than you did. I'm excited for next year and excited for the future and what Patrick Chambers can do. And we will get Patrick on the show here at some point. Here in the Sunbury Motors studio, we will not expose him to Kevin.
We do have a lot of things in common. All right, no, we
such
don't.
As?
All right, no, we don't.
I mean, you like to watch vehicles go around in circles.
Actually, you know what I was reading up on today that I knew you'd have no interest in, but I'm going to bring it up now. The Bodine four-man bobsled, the new one, has just come out. Jeff Bodine, former NASCAR star, designed a lot of the bobsleds since the mid-early 90s.
Yes, Jeff Bodine, who at one point won 14 consecutive races one summer at Stafford Motor Speedway in Connecticut, and they put a bounty on beating him.
Really? That I didn't know.
I shock you, don't I?
Every once in a while. Every once in a while.
And this is one of them. Let's take a break. News coming up top of the hour. Next half hour, we'll talk women's basketball with Brian Tripp. And if we have time, bobsledding.
Yes.
They actually had Herschel Walker and Willie Gault on bobsleds.
I remember that.
Yes. Actually, in the Olympic Games, that's one event I love. I love bobsled. Always have. Watching it. And actually watching it. I don't know who the heck the, you know.
I remember when I was a kid, the Great Adventure out in was it Jackson, New Jersey? I think that's where it was. They had a roller coaster that was made after a bobsled. That was really cool.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's one of the things I want to do. Ride a bobsled up at Lake Placid. See what we can do about that, Steve.
That would be fun. I think that would be a blast. I really do. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I'd like to do that. News, our news, 870 WKOK.